Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Welcome to Power in the Word. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons, and it's a blessing and honor to be with you on today. God is good and worthy to be praised, yet will I praise him. So everything is not going according to my plan. I'm going to praise him anyhow, and I'm going to trust God that he knows what is best for me. Amen. Let that be your attitude on today. Yet will you praise him. Amen. Although things are not going exactly as you would want them to, yet will you praise them. Although your enemies may be coming against you, yet will you praise him. Yet will you praise them. Will you praise them today? Amen. Praise the Lord. Are you going to praise the Lord anyhow? Amen. Are you going to praise God anyway? That is my question to you today. Are you going to worship him and walk in the blessings of the Lord every day? No matter what plans the enemy has for your life, know that God has a better plan. Oh, yes, God has a better plan. He says in Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope in the future. And that's a good future. Amen, amen. And just be encouraged, be encouraged. Know that God is watching over your life. Amen. He says in Jeremiah 1, verse 12, for I am watching to make sure that my word is fulfilled in your life. Amen and praise God. Well, you know who this is. If you've been listening for a while, this is Pastor Rebecca Simmons coming to you with power in the word. And you know, I believe, I truly believe with all of my heart that there is power in the word of God. God is good and worthy to be praised. Amen. Hallelujah. He's worthy. He's worthy. Oh, yes. He is worthy. I'm here today to talk to you about God and current issues. Amen. God and current issues. You know, some things have been going on in this world that we live in. You know, Jesus Christ says that we are in the world, but we're not of the world. Amen. And one thing that we have to remember as Christians is that we're supposed to be impacting the world. We're supposed to be making a positive impact on the world that we live in, and that is my mission. You know, often at church, at the end of service, I tell the congregation, I say, we are going to change the world. Amen. And one of the members, Sister Emmeline LSA, and my sympathy goes out to her and her family, and she is mourning the loss of her aunt. But Sister LSA said to me, she said, Pastor, you need to put that on our website because you always say that we're going to change the world. Amen. Amen. And we can do it. We can do it as Christians. We can change the world to make such a difference that no weapon really can stand up against us and prosper. Amen. And praise God. Let us pray. I'm going to be talking today about current issues. I want to talk about IMUS. I want to talk about the tragedy at Virginia Tech. And also, on a lighter note, I want to talk a little bit about American Idol. Amen. Amen and praise God. Let us pray. Father God, we praise your holy name, Lord. We worship you. We magnify your name. You are worthy to be praised. There is none like you, Lord. We come today, Father God, asking that your will be done. Let your will be done during this 30 minutes that we spend together. Let each caller, Father God, let each listener be blessed by you, Father God. Word our mouths. Word my mouth, Father God. Let the meditations of my heart and the words of my mouth be acceptable to you, God. Let me speak words of encouragement and edification and exhortation, Father God, so that your people, Father God, can come higher in you, Father God, being successful in every area of their lives, doing the work that you have preordained for them to do, Father God, so that you can get the glory in their lives. And let us as Christians, Father God, make a positive impact on this world that we live in. Let us not be so, Father God, high-minded that we don't, Father God, look around us and see, Father God, the dismay of our brothers and our sisters. Father God, let us be your arms, let us be your legs, and let us be that light, Father God, that you have declared us to be. So at the end of this time, we will be sure to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, I lift this prayer up to you. Amen, amen, and praise God. As you know, this is a call-in show, and you can call in at any time. You can call in. The number is 646-652-4832. 646-652-4832. Amen. Amen. And praise God. Praise God. I want to ask you, I want you to call in and just really talk to me about some of these issues. You can talk to me about anyone in particular. You see it, only saw it on the board, what I wanted to talk about, and I've already spoken to you about, you know, some of the things that are on my heart, The first thing that I want to do is I want to talk about Imus. A couple of weeks ago, about a week and a half, there was a comment made by him, I believe, that it was actually it was a conversation that he was having, but there was a comment that he made about the women of the Rutgers basketball team. And Rutgers is here in New Jersey. I'm in New Jersey. It's in Newark, New Jersey. I grew up in Newark, and I actually attended Rutgers. Amen. I attended Rutgers just before I met my husband. I was there going to school for a business degree. Amen. And then I ended up pregnant and had to go to school online at University of Phoenix online. But I'm close to Rutgers. Amen. Amen. But he mentioned something about pertaining to the fact that these women were nappy-headed hoes, amen. And I said amen to say, I know you can agree with the fact that this is what was said, amen, not that this is the truth. Because what we have to realize from Mr. Imus's remarks, and, you know, he's not the only one, he's not the only one that was talking. There was another person on the show, and I'm amazed because there was, I have my printout here because I looked at this today. There was another person on the show with him on that particular day, and that person actually said, McGuirk, I believe that's how we pronounce his name, but the conversation went like this, that's some rough girls from Rutgers, man, they got tattoos, and this McGuirk says, some hardcore hoes. And then Imus said, that's some nappy-headed hoes there. I'm going to tell you that now, man. Some woo. You know, and then he talked about the girls from Tennessee, and then they talked about Spike Lee and the movie that he had made, School Days, where Spike Lee talked about the jigaboos and the wannabes. And it became a big racial issue. Amen. The words that were spoken created this big racial issue where Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson came up to the forefront, amen, because they're big proponents for racial justice, and that's fully understood, amen. But these two reverends of the gospel came up and began to speak out against the comments that were made by Imus, and they wanted him fired. They wanted him fired. But what I want to know right now, and in the name of Jesus, what really bothered me about this case is that no one said anything, and maybe I'm wrong. Call me if I'm wrong, but no one said anything about McGuirk's comments that they were hardcore hoes. Amen. How do these 10 women, I believe that 8 of them were black and 2 of them were white, but how do these 10 women get to the point where they are called hoes, hardcore hoes? And how does it get to the point where we're more concerned with the black and white thing of it than we are with the fact that these women were totally disrespected? They were totally disrespected by being called out of their names, amen. You're no hoe, amen. If you're a woman, listen to me right now. You're no hoe, you're no B, whatever, you know what I'm saying when I say the word B. You're not any of the things that, even the rap lyrics, for those of you who listen to rap, I don't listen to rap. I have never liked rap. But even the rap lyrics have played a huge part in disrespecting women, amen, black and white. But I don't believe that it is to the point where we should get so involved in the thing about black and white, because racism is there, it's there, it's still there. But I want to really focus on the fact that women black and white are created in the image of God. You know, I ministered that at a retreat this weekend, and I said to the women there, you have to know who you are. And that's the first point I want to make. I'm saying this, I'm talking about current issues because I'm talking about God, and where does God fit in with the current issues? And what I want to say when I'm talking about this Imus deal and these men who rose to the occasion and they made it a black and white thing, I want to say to the women out there that is, it doesn't matter what color your skin is, you are still wonderfully and fearfully made. You are still created in the image of God. Amen. And I was talking about at the retreat this week, and I told the women that they were created in the image of God, and one of the young women looked at me and said, what does that mean? And I said, when you think about God, what do you think about? What are some of the characteristics of God? God is good, amen. God is awesome. He's wondrous to behold, amen. God is worthy, amen, of our of honor and respect, amen. And so too are you, amen. You are good. You are awesome to behold. You're wondrous to behold. You are worthy of honor and respect. You got to get this. You have to get this. Do not let people validate you by their words. Do not let people invalidate you. Do not let people tear you down by the words that they speak out of their mouths. Now, I understand that these girls went on Oprah, and they were devastated by the comments that were made. And rightly so, rightly so. But what I want to say to these Rutgers girls is that you're better than that, amen. And to every woman listening, you're better than that. You're better than just it being the color of your skin. It goes beyond that. It goes to the fact that God created you, amen. He created you wonderful, glorious, amen. You are fearfully made. You're a designer's original, amen, because there's no one on this earth who is like you, amen. And when you know who you are, people can say what they will. They can say what they will, but you will not be deterred by the statements that are coming out of foolish people's mouths. Amen. This man did it for entertainment purposes, and we know that it was not so entertaining. But what I want to do is stand up today for the creation. Amen. I want to stand up for women everywhere. I want to stand up for men everywhere who are fighting with their identity, who are not certain about who they are. And I want to tell you, if you are for every human being, I want to tell you that you're created in the image of God. Amen. Amen. For every human being, you got to get this, that you are worthy of honor and respect. No one's education, no one's status in life. I don't care how much money somebody else has. I don't care how many compliments somebody has. That does not mean that they are better than you. Your accomplishments or your lack thereof do not put you out of the game. You are still somebody, amen. You are still somebody. Hold your head up. Hold your head up and know that you're somebody, amen, because God created you. He knit you together in your mother's womb. He took very special care with you. He knew what you would look like. Every hair on your head is numbered, and God has a great plan for your life, no matter who you are. You may not even be a Christian today. I'm talking to the saved and the unsaved, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And it's so good to know that somebody is out there listening. We have a caller, and I'm going to put this caller on the air because I want to talk to you about some of these issues. Amen. And praise God. Caller, welcome to Power in the Word. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing, Pastor Rebecca? My name is Deron Stewart. I'm calling from Oakland, California.
Praise the Lord. How are you, Deron?
All right. How you doing? I just called in, and I hear you got this this somber tone in your voice. What's going on?
Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm serious, Deron. I am serious because there's so much going on in the world, and we just need to get it. We need to get with our identity to know who we are and who God has created us to be. And we, you know, there's so much. It just really distresses my spirit to see so much going on in the world.
Yeah.
So what's going on with you? What do you have to say?
Well, I have a lot to say, Pastor Rebecca, and the reason for my call is, well, I don't know where should I start. All right, about 6 months ago, all right, I was raised to be a Baptist.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I was raised in the Christian church, but I never really fully embraced it because I don't know why. It just never happened. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Never just naturally happened. But I eventually went into. I got into Islam.
Okay.
and I started practicing Islam, and I eventually fell off of that. And what was going on with me, what I found out now, is called spiritual evolution.
Okay.
And it's also mental evolution. But I was just gonna call in and ask you exactly what you know about the African origins of Christianity.
Oh, that's a good question. Exactly what I know about the African. Now, why is that the question? That's a question is, of course, that you're seeking to find out where you fit in as far as Christianity as an African-American male. Is that it?
Well, what I've discovered, Pastor Rebecca, is that basically that all the religions, all the major religions, the big three, Christianity, Islam, in Buddhism, they all come from the same place, and they all come from the same doctrine. It's called the Medu Nature.
Yeah, I've read that book.
Yeah, and I mean, right? They try to put a negative spin on it and call it the Book of the Dead, which they've never called it that. They never called it that, and it was actually called the book of life, and also. I don't want to mess this up. It's like the coming forth, the book of coming forth by day. That was what it was originally called. And I mean, what this boils down to is that ever since the division happened, because the spiritual system that existed, I'll say about 6,000 years ago, is the same spiritual system that we practice today. It's just that it's been divided so much, and it's been divided to the point where even the different religions are divided. You know what I'm saying?
I do understand what you're saying, and I hear what you're saying, and I've looked at it all. I've looked at Buddhism. I looked at Islam. I've looked at Eastern religions and things of that nature. But, Devon, I must admit that nothing worked for me like Jesus Christ. Nothing like Jesus Christ. And the thing that I have with the other religions is that they don't honor Jesus Christ as the Son of God. The fullness of deity, according to my Bible, dwelled on the inside of Christ, walked in the fullness of deity, which means he was God. And a lot of people don't accept that, and they don't receive it. And other religions, you know, like Islam and Buddhism and things of that nature, they have the right attitude, because I believe in positive thinking, and I believe in positive confessions and things of that nature, but... With me, for those other religions, though, something was still missing. I was still looking for answers in all of the wrong places, and I couldn't find it until, you know, the day that I became a Christian. Nothing changed for me. Nothing worked for me. So I respect other people for what they believe, but I do exhort people to try Jesus and try Jesus for real, because he changed my life. I mean, I was out there on drugs and alcohol and in the wrong relationships with different men, and there was still a void on the inside of me that could not be filled.
Right.
That could not be filled. And I looked at all of this stuff. I mean, I really, the power of positive thinking and, you know, all of these different energies and things like that, but nothing. And I grew up Baptist, too. And imagine this, going to church one day and coming home and hearing your dad in the next room beating up on your mom, you know, and having alcohol in the home and other women and sexual abuse and all kinds of stuff, you know. Imagine that. And then you're like, well, where's this Christ? Where's this God, you know? Yeah. But I believe that there's a time that if we seek God, we'll find him for real. And I believe that you're on the path to finding God for real. And whatever path you have to take, believe me, you keep seeking him, and you will find him if you haven't already. And I also believe that Jesus is the answer. You know, that's my belief.
Okay. Well, Pastor Rebecca, I'm going to share some more stuff with you. I'm not going to get off this phone until I know that you fully realize what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, what is your purpose? Tell me what your purpose is.
My purpose. Okay, I've done a lot of research, Pastor Rebecca. I'm 26 years old.
You're 26.
So a lot of people don't, a lot of people don't take me seriously when I say what I say.
No, I take you seriously. I want you to know that right now.
Okay. Well, you said that I'm trying to find God, and that is true. I haven't found the whole truth, but God gave us intelligence.
Yes.
He gave us common sense. That was his gift to us, you know, among other things. But he gave us common sense, and he gave us intelligence. Now, he gave us that to find our purpose on earth and to know what we're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And my research has, I found some amazing things. And I don't just take things at face value. I don't just take other people's word for anything, you know?
Right.
And I'm not doubting that the power of the word in the book hasn't changed your life, because the original scripture is not identical to what it is today, but it is included in that. So
uh-huh.
There is, God's word is still in the Bible, but there are a lot of things inside of the Bible that were added later that were used for other people's...
Right, I know about that. I've heard those
right.
arguments. Go ahead.
Right. And basically, my research has led me to the truth. And the truth is that the Bible was written by Africans.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it was written by black people. Let's just put out there like that. You know, people don't want to talk about it like that because they don't like to get racial. But
mm-hmm.
that's what it is. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
The Bible was written by black people. Black
okay.
people civilized the world. They civilized the world. We were the first civilization. They called it Egypt, and the Greeks called it that.
Right, right. I already, yeah, that's all good knowledge. And how is it relevant? How is it relevant to what's going on today?
Well, it's relevant to what's going on today because we're living by a different moral standard than we used to.
Okay.
See, these things weren't going on back then. These things, I'm not saying that, you know, they were people just like us, and they had, you know, crime and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't like this. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't.
Okay.
It wasn't this widespread and just havoc everywhere. You know?
Okay. So this is the $20 million question. What is
huh?
This is the $20 million question for you. What is the solution? Here you have IMIS, and this is what I'm talking about. Current issues. Calling a group of women nappy-headed hoes. Here you have. The massacre at Virginia Tech, and,
right.
You know, I was going to talk about American Idol. That's a whole different thing. But then you also have people who are killing. You have homosexuality on the rage, and you have marriages ending in divorce at a rate of over 50%. And that's even in the church. It's about 60%. What is the solution?
The solution
the
is to go back to the original spiritual system that all of these religions came from.
Okay, because now what is that?
Now these religions are just watered-down versions of the original spiritual mystery system of Kemet.
Mm-hmm. And go ahead.
I'm sorry?
And what is the... Okay, who is God? Where is God in all of this?
God is the universe. God
the
is
universe.
God every person... on earth.
Okay.
We have a little bit of God in all of us.
Okay.
And we have a little bit of the devil in all of us. I don't believe that the devil is an adversary of God. I don't believe the equal to God. I believe that God is all around us in everything that we see, and I believe that the devil is inside of us, but we have to control him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
That's a totally different set of beliefs. Amen. And, you know, I really understand where you're coming from, because I've been there. I was like, well, we don't need Jesus. God is in us, and God is love. And, you know, the enemy, the enemy, you know, is the enemy, and all of this stuff. You know, it all sounds good. And you talked about research and not taking the word of man. But what you realize is that when you research, you're reading man's words. Amen. You're in the book. Amen. Just like the Bible. You know, a lot of people would say the Bible is a book. We believe as Christians that the Bible was inspired by the Holy Spirit, amen, which is the third person in the Godhead, amen. And I, personally, Daron, I don't want the responsibility of having the accountability of everything that happens in my life resting with me. I like the idea of having a higher level of accountability, of knowing that there's a great God out there watching over my life. I talked about Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 12, where the word says, I am watching to make sure that my word is fulfilled in your life. And we take the Bible, the problem with Christians is we don't know the Bible. And the second problem is we're not living the Bible, amen? The word is living, and we should be living the word. But
Honestly, I believe that if most Christians knew the Bible, they wouldn't even be Christians. Because
I don't agree. You know why we're Christians? Because of Christ and the sacrifice. What really is the foundation of our religion, the foundation of our faith, is that we believe that Christ was crucified, that he died so that we could come back into a relationship with God. And at that point where he was nailed to the cross, all of our sins were attached to Christ, which means that because of Christ, because we received Christ for who the Bible says he is, we are forgiven of our sins before we get the sins that we committed before we come to Christ. Now, we're responsible for all of the stuff we do after we become Christians. But the thing about it is Christ is the foundation of our faith because we believe that he died and that he laid in the grave for 3 days. I know it's hard to believe. And on the third day, he got up. That's what we believe as Christians. That is the foundation of Christianity, and that is the root core of the Bible. That's what it's really about. John 3:15, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that so whoever believed on him would have life and have that life more eternally. And not only that, but John 10:10 talks about life more abundantly. So it's a lot of stuff that goes on the inside of us that prevents us from walking into the fullness of everything that God has for us. And that's why I come on the air with Power in the Word, because I want to encourage people that it's better than that. Life, the Bible is not a whole bunch of rules and regulations and do's and don'ts. It's not to make your life miserable, and it's not to promote slavery and bondage. The Bible is to promote liberty, that we would be free in Christ and free indeed, knowing that there's a God out there who created us and has a plan for our lives, that we would be walking in the fullness of life so that God could get the glory from our lives. And that's what we need to get back to. The Muslims have it. What you're talking about with the universe, they have it. They really have grabbed a hold of it. And now it's time for the Christians to really get it and let the light shine. We really need to let our light shine.
Yes, that's exactly what my whole life purpose is to let the light shine through.
Amen.
And the light is the truth.
Amen.
Now, I want to ask you a question, and it's really going to dictate the direction of our conversation.
Well, our conversation is very short-lived because we only have about 5 more minutes, but give me your question.
I'm going to ask you a question, okay? How do you feel about the fact that before the name Jesus ever came about and before the name Christianity ever came about, there was already the story of a Savior, there was already the story of a resurrection, there was already the story of a virgin birth, and there was already the story of an immaculate conception,
mm-hmm.
and there was already the story of 12 apostles and all of this before any of that ever came about.
It does.
And this was written by black people, and the people that took it over and basically flipped it into their own thing were the Christians. And originally, white people weren't even called white people. They were called Christians.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying?
Right.
So they took the spiritual system of your ancestors and flipped it into their own thing. And now you practice it today. But what they left out is a lot of different things. I found out that the name Moses
mm-hmm.
actually comes from an African pharaoh whose name was Thutmosis, and they took out the Thut, and they took his writings, and we look at Moses, and they show us Moses today, and it's a white guy, you know
yes.
what I'm saying? But the guy that actually wrote that was a black African king.
Okay, let me answer
now,
your question.
Another thing is that the Ten Commandments, okay, we live our life according to Ten Commandments,
mm-hmm.
but the Ten Commandments are derived from the 42 declarations of Ma'at,
mm-hmm.
which Ma'at means truth, righteousness, and justice.
Mm-hmm.
So we're living, you ask what's the problem? The problem is that we're living our life by 10 rules when we should be living by 42.
Mm-hmm.
We're totally excluding 32 other things that we should be doing.
You know, I'm going to answer your question. How do I feel? And I'm going to answer it. I'm going to answer your question. How do I feel about the Bible and everything being changed around and the white and black thing? It doesn't faze me. All really that matters to me is Jesus Christ and him crucified. You know, all that really matters to me is that the gospel, according to the way that is written in the Bible, the whole 66 books, have made a dramatic change in the way that I live life and the way that I do life. I believe that my life is making a positive impact in the world. And if it's not bad, I say, you know, and if I believe it, I say I'm going to move forward and I'm going to pursue it and I'm going to promote it with everything in me. Christianity is not a faith of bondage. It's a faith of liberty. And the black and white thing about it, I have to say, my brother, that I have respect for black people as well as white people and people across the nation. I don't care what their race is.
Right, Pastor Rebecca, but how do you feel about the society that says that black people never accomplished anything and black people...
Well, it's a lie. That's what the devil does.
You're practicing somebody else's version of your ancestors' writings, and your ancestors are happy with you right now.
But what you're telling me, but what you've told me is that some of my ancestors' writings have been implemented within the Bible.
Exactly.
Even though, okay, so what you've told me,
Bible, but they're not the original word. You're not reading the original word, so you're not getting the original message. You're getting the message that somebody else wants you to get.
And that
you
works
know what I'm saying?
For me. And that works for me, and it works for a lot of Christians across this nation. And what I'm saying to you is that the Bible, if we take the Bible and we read the Bible, not only is it just words, but God is in the Bible. The Bible is not just dry words on a page. The Bible is living. And
well,
every time
I
tell you
what, Pastor Rebecca, there's a lot of things going on. Our children are out here dying. There's a lot of things going on. It's a black Holocaust going on right now. And I know I don't, like, I'm not a racist person, you know what I'm saying? I like to embrace everybody. But there's some things going on with black people right now. I think we need to take charge and not do...
White people are not killing black people. Duron, honey, white people are not killing black people. Our music is killing black people. The way that we live our lives is killing
our music.
You know, not parenting is killing. I grew up in Newark, and I know this is a totally different...
I'm from Newark, too.
You're from Newark, too. Okay, so
yes,
I grew up in Newark,
I'm
and I know... The drugs in our neighborhoods are killing people. You know, our lack of education. And I'm not saying anything against black people because I have children still growing up today, and my son is in college. I have another son in high school. My daughter she's 8 years old. She's an honor roll student. But what I'm saying to us, to you, is that our parents need to be actively parenting. We need to get off of the people who are speaking up. We need some people like you to speak out for black rights. That's a whole different show. But what I'm telling you today, I think you have a voice. I think you have a voice. I believe that you can be a leader in the community, in the black community. And we need brothers like you who are serious about preserving the black race. Amen. You know, what I'm saying to you, though, is that if something is working for somebody, and Christianity works for me, I believe that there is no other God. I believe that there's only one God, and I believe that the only way to the Father is through the Son, and that's from my Bible. Everything that I take from my Bible
that's from the Medunetcher. That's not from the
Bible. Amen. It's okay. Call it what you want to call it, but I call and I refuse to give in to this. You can't sway me because I'm going
to
continue.
I'm
going to continue to call.
What I'm asking you is to let go of the propaganda from other people.
No, it's not other
people. Is that you want your daughter to go to school and succeed, right? But if she was to know,
my daughter is a straight A.
Smarter than anybody in the entire school.
Devon, my daughter is a straight A. student. She's a straight A student. Her report card has straight A's and all ones.
A student in.
Straight A's
learning.
And all ones. My son is 20 years old. He does not wear his pants hanging off of his butt. They're not allowed to listen to rap music. They don't watch R-rated programming. They do not watch PG-rated programming. What goes in is what comes out. My brother, I have to end our call. I have to end our call. It's the end of the show. And I want to say to you, thank you so much for calling in. God bless you.
I hope you wake up one day, and God bless you.
God bless you, and I'm going to pray that God really opens your eyes, my brother, so that you can know the real deal, you know, that Jesus Christ is the way, the life, and the truth. And what's wrong with our society is that we're so busy knocking what's good that we can't see. We really can't see. And I understand, my brother. I'm not knocking him. I love you. I love you, Duron. You've hung up. But I want you to know that I love you, and I want you to just pray and ask God to just continue to open your eyes, because I sounded like you 13 years ago before I got saved. I was right there. It was black and white and our people and my people. I love people, black, white, oriental, you name it. And I'm going to pick up this issue again because I want to talk about some of the things that are going on in our nation, and I want the listeners to hear. We have a real caller, and this is what I wanted. I wanted somebody to call and talk to me, and his brother called and talked to me about what he believes. And I'm going to tell you, you know what I believe. I believe in the Bible, the whole Bible. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in the resurrection of God, you know, and that's what I believe. Jesus changed my life. God saved my life. And I'm going to do this with every breath in me. He said, I hope you wake up and get rid of the propaganda. If it's good and it has done what it's done in my life, if you know my story, read one of my books, The Cry of a Woman's Heart, Healing the Pain of the Past, Traveling the Road to Victorious Living. And you will know that God is real. Amen. And there will be a lot of people who can't believe, who won't believe, because it's you know, black people, we're having a hard time. We are having a hard time. And not all black people are on drugs and living in the neighborhood. I don't live in the hood anymore. I live in the suburbs. And a lot of people will call me a sellout because of what I believe, because I believe in Jesus, black or white, whatever. I believe in Jesus. I believe in God. I don't care who wrote the Bible. All I care about is that the Bible was inspired by God and that it changes my life. We're going to change the world, and we're going to make a positive impact in this world. And I just want to thank my brother. I wanted to thank this young man, Duvon, for calling in. He had the courage to call. He wanted to speak, and his voice has been heard. However, I'm not swayed. I'm not swayed. As for me, I have decided to follow Jesus. Amen. I've decided to follow Jesus. I like having the power, the dunamis power of the Holy Spirit guiding me and directing me every day. I have success in my life because I choose to follow God through Christ. Amen, amen, and praise God. So we didn't get to talk, but it looks like I opened up a can of worms here. Amen, but that's all good. It's all good. We're going to find the truth. All of us are going to find the truth one day. And, you know, it's going to come a time when it's going to be us and God, where we have to stand before God and make account of how we lived our lives on this earth. And I say, whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. Live your life in such a way, even you, my brother Duvon, live your life in such a way that so that men and women can look on your life and glorify God. Glorify God. Amen. Your purpose is to glorify God with your whole life. Amen. And praise God. Well, I'm signing out. I'm stimulated by today's conversation. You can send me some emails with your comments, powerintheword1@yahoo.com. Duvon, if you're still listening, I want you to go to my website, send me an email so that we can talk some more about this. Amen. Praise God. Like you said, you're not going to give up until I believe what you want me to believe or what you believe is the truth. And I don't want to give up on you, brother, until you believe what I believe is the truth. Amen. Amen. Because the truth is going to set you free. Amen. And the truth is going to set me free. So remember, my brother and my sister, until we meet again, to make the most out of every single opportunity. And remember that God loves you. And so do we here at Power in the Word. Peace.